It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Lacked coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you.
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live.
And that's the way it is.
Only on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Take it away, boys.
All right. Okay. It is 7:06 and 67 degrees. High today, about 81. We've got showers and thunderstorms off and on today. The John and Gordy Show, sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's east and west sides. Or just go online, verlo.com.
It is a special under-the-radar edition of The Family Show, and we're getting to a new feature called Under the Radar.
This is a new feature.
Yep.
It's not an old feature. Well, it's a new feature.
It's a new one, yeah.
Okay.
It's not a recycled feature, no.
Okay.
Okay.
Under the radar, you're calling this.
Yep. It occurred to me one day, and I thought, hey, I'm going to try this.
Is this about the weather, under the radar?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I would never step into your arena.
Thank you.
Your professional whatever.
Stay in.
But you're so good at it.
I don't
want to interfere.
Thank you. I'm trying to stay in my lane.
That's it.
That's what they tell. Yeah, That's what they tell me.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
All right.
Okay.
We do have something first, though.
Under the radar.
Yeah, and I think we have to get into the right frame of mind.
Okay.
It's a radar detector.
There it is. It's coming in. You can see these stories just floating in under the radar.
Little blips under the radar.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So
okay, what does it all mean?
Well, what it means is we have a few stories here that no one's really paying any attention to. But, you know, I happen to notice them. And damn it, I'm going to talk about them.
You and your investigative staff are looking into these things.
We worked
for
hard
us.
On this.
Okay.
We were watching the radar.
Yeah.
And wow.
What
this looks dangerous.
What was the first thing that came to your attention that you thought we ought to know about?
This is something. George Conway, recently divorced ex-husband of former Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway, has launched a new political action committee called the Anti-Psychopath PAC.
This is a political action committee?
Yep. It will work to highlight the existential threat Donald Trump poses to democracy and remind voters of the former president's mental unfitness for office.
Okay.
Conway said the failure to treat Trump's behavior as pathological has led the media and the country, perversely, to treat it as normal. And that's the big reason why we're seeing the double standard being applied to the candidates today.
You know, you might be onto something here because we've gotten so used to the crazy.
Yeah.
We just don't, you know, even pay attention to it anymore. We don't think about it.
Batteries on boats, shark attacks,
it's just Trump.
Well, he's just being Trump.
The crazy uncle in the attic just blathering on.
All right, Grandpa, let's get you to bed.
Exactly. Let's just leave him alone.
And then, of course, he retells the story and we're, it's a different version, but it's fun. It's fun to listen to. We laugh. We laugh, right?
Yeah.
How about this? Political judges normalized now. This is another one of those stories right under the radar.
Yeah.
Right? Trump is almost certainly going to avoid going to jail in either of the two federal cases against him this year, all thanks to his own appointees to the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Pelletieri, who writes, an attorney who has written about Trump in the past, downplayed the significance of Trump-appointed judges ruling in his favor. He told Politico that politics will naturally influence legal decisions due to the political nature of the judicial appointment system. Oh, it's just normal now, you know.
Mm.
The judges appointed by Trump are ruling in his favor. So the judges appointed by Democrats are going to rule against him.
Right.
It does correctly undermine the public's trust in the system. It's normal.
Yeah, but people are apathetic about it, it seems now. Oh, that's just the way it is, you know. What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, Judge Cannon, that's fine.
Yeah, she's...
No big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, took all those...
Classified documents, all those secrets home.
No big deal. Let's throw that one out, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
No, nothing to worry about.
Right.
It's under the radar.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nobody's talking about it.
The last story is something we've already talked about.
Yeah.
All right. And this is from Dr. Jonathan Rainier, a professor of medicine at Georgetown Washington University in Washington, D.C., writes, "It's an understatement to say that it's bizarre that a presidential candidate has sustained an injury from an attempted assassination and no medical report is issued."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says, "My read, if the medical evaluation matched Trump's description, he would have okayed its release. He wants the cred of having been shot, being shot at, and lightly injured incidentally isn't good enough for him. So, you know, he chose to lie about it and cover it up. That's what he's saying. So he isn't saying anything. They're not releasing any information." And by the way,
right?
Another doctor who treated the president, I guess, said he didn't even need stitches for a bullet wound from a high-velocity bullet.
But I thought I heard that it pierced his upper ear.
That's what I heard.
That's what they were saying early on.
Yeah.
And he was bleeding profusely.
Now, and that's the story I'm going with, okay?
Okay.
I'm just bringing up all this other stuff only because it's out there and...
It's under the radar.
Under the radar. You are correct, sir.
Well, we need to know more about these stories. We can't just let them slide, you know?
No.
That's the thing. They do go under the radar, and, you know, there's so much other bigger news that takes the spotlight.
Absolutely.
So it's important for you to, you know, dig.
Well, thank you into these for making that story more important than it really was.
Well, again, back to those Secret Service hearings. I mean, we learned nothing, basically, yesterday.
Did you watch some of them?
I watched it as long as I could, but, you know, I mean, it went on and on for hours, and you just can't, you know, after a point, you just go, well, she's not answering anything.
Right.
And both sides, everybody was irritated at her. She just would not reveal anything, mm-hmm. and she's not going to resign. So they're going to have to drag her out or impeach her. They're talking about impeaching her. I don't know if they can actually do that.
Well, somewhere along the way, you know, you just have to kind of wait and let the process work its way out.
Right.
And get the reports from the Secret Service and find out what happened.
Yes.
Maybe we're just rushing into this. Maybe we, you know, in a society like today, we want immediate gratification.
Yeah.
And maybe we should just, you know, tone it down, slow down the rhetoric.
Take a breath.
I was going to ask earlier, like, you guys were both kids when the Kennedy assassination happened.
Yes,
but
how long after that, if you remember it,
did reports start coming out about the logistics of how the thing happened?
Well, they appointed the Warren Commission, headed up by Earl Warren, supposedly.
So that had to take a little time.
It took almost a year to come up with any, you know, explanation.
Like any explanation at all, really, other than that he got shot?
You know, there were early reports, but no, that was the first official, you know, rendering of what had happened. And
so, John,
and when that came out,
hold your horses, John.
Thing was, when it came out, after that came out, almost nobody believed it.
Oh, I
so
see.
It was almost immediately
gave birth to
discounted.
The conspiracy
theories
immediately.
Yeah. And it's been that way ever since.
Well, you know, we've made some changes in technology since then.
Right.
That is true.
So, we have a better way of determining these things. And I think that I was too small to remember what the reaction was and how much information they released at the time, you know, trajectory of the bullet.
And remember, the Zapruder film wasn't shown to the public for years. Maybe like 5 years before they even showed still shots. You know, they didn't.
But it's seared in our memories now, but you know, it's hard to try to put it in chronological order.
Right.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
Okay. Well, again, you know, it's conspiracy theory plus here. I'll just get my tinfoil hat and start wearing it around the station.
You do that.
All right. Now, can we? I want you to set up the manly man thing.
Okay. Let's do that.
With your music, John?
I wanted, yeah, hold on a second, okay?
Okay.
Gordy, do you want to get something in here?
I was going to mention this fact that you can stay up to date with the latest news in Wisconsin. Just subscribe to the Civic Media Digest. It's civicmedia.us/email. And you can get the top podcast hours of all your favorite Civic Media programs, news and commentary from the Civic Media team, and learn what's going on across the entire statewide network right into your inbox each week. Okay? You can find all of that at civicmedia.us/email. You can sign up for that. It is 7:16 and 67 degrees, highs in the low 80s today, and showers and thunderstorms. We're going to talk with Brittany Merlot here in just a few minutes.
Remember, the Secret Service has a history of destroying evidence. It's more of a text to us. Yeah. And another one says, God wanted Trump to live so he could lose to a black woman, okay?
All right.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about God saving Trump, all right? He's helping Trump. You know, he wants Trump to win, so he's protecting Trump, right? But isn't the ultimate protection not having any attempt on the president's life? And I think we could say that maybe God is overseeing Biden.
So are you blaming God now for everything?
I'm just saying that I think Biden's getting the better protection from God.
Okay. Right?
No attempts.
Hmm.
Anyway, okay. I just wanted to get that out. Let's get to the man thing here. Let's get into the right spirit with this little tune.
What do we got?
Catchy little tune that you can hum all day long.
Manly men.
We're men among men and manly men. Yes, manly men are we. We're men among manly men among manly men are we. We're men among men and manly men. Yes, manly men are we.
Yes, here's Charlie Kirk representing anxious manly men, submitting to other anxious manly men and then demanding that the rest of us be equally fearful and submissive to manly men like Trump. Fight, fight, fight. This is Charlie Kirk, Cut 99.
Oh, boy.
Manly man. Charlie Kirk.
Can't wait.
I mean, you see a guy who gets shot, and he then fights his own agents and says, fight, fight, fight. Let me be very clear. If you are a man in this country and you don't vote for Donald Trump, you're not a man. I mean, like, who are you? You're not going to vote for that? I mean,
you know what? Actually, after that incident, I see a lot of women manning up to vote for Donald Trump.
Oh, yes. Right. I mean, so. Whoever you are, if you're still voting for Joe Biden after that, there's something deeply disturbing and wrong with you.
There it is. So you got to
be a manly man.
Well, that's off the table now. If Biden's out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Manly men. 7:18. Coming back with more of the John and Gordy Show.
Men.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM. You can also check us out on the Civic Media app, and you can text us or give us a call. That way we love to hear from you on the program, and this is a very special edition, under-the-radar edition of the family show.
Speaking of the radar, it's all filled up with showers this morning, John.
Yes.
Look at all that green stuff, that big blob moving across the radar right now. Means it's raining out there. And so grab that umbrella, check your windshield wipers, showers and thunderstorms today. Right now, 67 degrees, high near 81. Normally, at this point, we'd talk to Brittany Merlot, but she's stuck in traffic somewhere near the EAA. And she could call us, she could call us in with traffic and weather together and let us know what's going on with that.
Weather together.
Okay.
I love
maybe
that
not,
cliche.
But it's going to be wet today and kind of
warm.
And
the thing
later.
That they've added now to the radar.
Yeah, what?
Are the lightning bolts.
That's been a part of it for a while, but they've kind of upgraded it.
Well, now they've upgraded it. It just comes with it. You know? Before you had to kind of add it.
Yeah. You like the little lightning bolts?
I'm not sure if I do.
Well, it helps, to see where the lightning is.
I'm not seeing the lightning bolts.
What do you mean?
Except
you're not
on my
seeing...
radar. That's all I. I go outside. I'm looking. I don't see any lightning.
Okay.
They're telling me there's lightning.
Yeah. All right. Well, there is some lightning, but we've only seen showers this morning around here.
All right.
Okay.
Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Dick on the line right now. Dick, what do you got for us?
Morning, Dick.
Good morning. You know, to this situation with the attempted assassination, mm-hmm. you know, yesterday he said, well, I took a bullet for democracy, mm-hmm. you know, and they're inviting this type of speculation on it by not coming clean. And for crying out loud, back when the attempt on Reagan happened in the 80s, mm-hmm. there was full disclosure mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah.
And what happened. And here we are all this time later. I've heard a theory, and I'm tending to believe this one. There was a piece of shattered glass
right.
that hit him in the ear from a teleprompter or something. You're bound to be susceptible to thinking all kinds of things when they won't come clean.
Right. I mean, you know, he could have cut his own ear having heard the shot. And the shot could have been meant for just a audience member. All of these crazy ideas.
Cut his own ear.
There.
What are you talking about?
I mean, you know, all of this stuff. You know. And anything could have been possible because he talked to Viktor Orban, who's crazy himself and a dictator. Mm-hmm. So who knows, you know? I mean, they should actually come clean. Like you say, come clean with this. Just something, a doctor's report, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is just a simple ear injury. It should be a simple report. Simply released to the press.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, somebody on Stephanie Miller's show yesterday said, you know, we're crying out loud. I don't know who it was, but it was funny. We knew more about Reagan's colon than I wanted to know when he had that surgery.
Yes. True enough.
Oh,
yeah.
You're bringing back bad memories for me.
Yeah.
I was traumatized from that report.
Dick, thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
608-879-8255, or you can text us and get in on the Civic Media app.
I'm just checking out this tag. This is how Biden should use his new immunity power. Order the people in charge of the federal student loans to destroy all information on who owes what. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, this immunity thing.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Biden just go crazy with it?
Well, he's got...
He's not running for president again.
He's got 5 or 6 months he could do that behind the scenes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, why not?
That's what I say.
Oh, good morning to Sherry from Horicon.
Oh, yeah, Sherry.
Always sends
thank
us
you,
a bright and cheery emoji. Thank you for that.
This time Snoopy pouring syrup on a waffle.
It just makes you smile, doesn't it? Okay. Yeah.
Souffle makes you smile. If souffle. You say souffle,
souffle,
you smile.
Okay.
That's what we used to say on the old radio station.
Are we still under the radar with these stories?
No, we're not under the radar at all. But I do have something. Pete Buttigieg, who I think should be the next president, but anyway, or at least vice president in this case, he had a comment about J.D. Vance.
Oh, yes.
You know, a lot of people were talking about this. I thought I'd play the cut for you with Bill Maher.
This is,
And this would be cut 98. So let's listen to Pete Buttigieg, the brilliance of Pete.
Of course, the other thing you get to do at a convention is roll out your vice presidential candidate, which in this case was J.D. Vance.
I know him
a little bit.
What do you think of him?
Look, we're from the same generation. We're both from the Midwest, different parts of the Midwest.
Right.
I know a lot of guys like J.D. Vance. I run into a lot of guys like him. Not so much when I was growing up
Peter
in Indiana.
Peter Thiel is his big backer.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, if people don't know who that is, he started PayPal.
Yeah.
He's gay. He's a billionaire. I mean, I've had a couple of people who knew you were coming on this week said, ask Pete what he thinks about Peter Thiel being so in love with J.D. Vance, who is flatly against gay marriage.
So I think it's a profound contradiction, but maybe it's not that complicated. I know there are a lot of folks who say, what's going on with some of these Silicon Valley folks veering into Trump world with J.D. Vance and backing Trump? What are they thinking? Silicon Valley is supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to care about climate. They're supposed to be, you know, I don't know, pro-science and rational and libertarian. So normally libertarians don't like authoritarians. What's up with that? I think it's actually, we've made it way too complicated. It's super simple. These are very rich men who have decided to back the Republican Party that tends to do good things for very rich men. That's kind of what you're getting with J.D., right? So I knew a lot of people like him when I got to Harvard. I found a lot of people like him who would say whatever they needed to get ahead. And 5 years ago, that seemed like being the anti-Trump Republican, so that's what he was. Talked about how he was unfit, how he was cynical. Called him an opioid, which is kind of a weird thing to say about a person, but definitely a really... But I mean, for somebody whose identity is that they're connected to Appalachia, which has an opioid crisis, that really is the darkest thing you could possibly say about Donald Trump, at least in public. But behind the scenes, apparently, he's actually calling him Hitler, right? Seriously, 5 years later, the way he gets ahead is that he's the greatest guy since sliced bread. And I actually watched this exact same process with somebody else I got to know in my days in the Midwest, which was my former governor, Mike Pence, who I watched start out as an evangelical Christian who cared about rectitude and family values, and then get on board with a guy who was mixed up with a porn star, make excuses for him, so that he could have power. And then he did. He got four glorious years, I guess, as Vice President of the United States. And it ended on the west front of the Capitol with Trump supporters proposing that he be hanged for using the one shred of integrity he still had to stand up to an attempt to overthrow the government.
Right.
So I guess, maybe not as a politician, but as a human being, what I'll say is that I hope things work out a little bit better for J.D. Vance than they did for Mike.
Good point. That, isn't that something?
He is so smart.
He's amazing.
He is so articulate. I'm just, you know, every time he is out there in the press, I'm fascinated by what he's going to say next.
Amazing guy. I got to know him a bit in South Bend.
Yes, you did. You interviewed him.
I interviewed him a number of times on a TV show I
had
back there.
Right? You can get him on the show.
No, I'd like to get in touch with him and get him on our show. But I've tried a couple of times to email. I haven't got any response yet.
Oh, no. Do you remember me from?
Yeah, no. It's no. A long time ago, I guess.
It's not that long ago.
10 years ago. 729, 67 degrees, high near 81 today. We're coming back. We'll be talking with attorney Jim Santel.
Yep.
Coming up on the John and Gordy Show.
John Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Live from Madison, the capital city of the great state of indecision, Wisconsin. It's the John and Gordy Show on Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX.
It is 7:34, 67 degrees. Highs today around 81, and we've got some pretty good showers moving through Madison right now. Even a few thunderbolts, some lightning bolts, some flashes
after
of
just
lightning.
Talking about it.
Yes.
All of a sudden we saw some lightning.
Yes.
All you have to do is talk about it and you'll see it.
Just be careful with that.
Power of suggestion.
And that's it. Want to mention this, this portion of the John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. You can find them on Madison's East and West Sides or online at verlo.com.
Our special guest this morning, Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review. Good morning to you.
Gentlemen, always good to be with you. And lots of things continue to happen in America, right? And good to talk about all those things.
Well, yeah, let's start with Joe Biden's attempt to maybe reform the Supreme Court just a little bit before he leaves office. What's the deal on that? Why don't you run by some of the points that he wants to, or at least he's proposing at this point?
Sure. So, again, we recall that Joe Biden is still our president and will be that at least until January 19th, noon on January 20th of next year. So can still do things. And he is proposing a package of things, much of which he can't accomplish on his own, but good to know that he is out there advocating for things. Kind of at the top of the list is swinging for the bleachers, if you will, on this one, but it's a big thing. He's proposing a constitutional amendment to what we talked about just in the past couple of weeks, which is this absurd notion articulated by the Supreme Court that presidents can commit crimes while in office. That they have immunity. And so he's proposing a constitutional amendment to establish what I think we all knew for 248 years, but nonetheless, you need to say it for the Supreme Court. Joe Biden wants us to adopt a constitutional amendment. Again, the burden of that would be you need to get both houses of Congress to pass that kind of change. He'd have to sign off on it, and then you need to have all the three quarters of the states endorse it. So it's a big lift, but you could accomplish it, and good sending the signal that at least this president, and presumably maybe our next one also, if things go as they should, would not be invoking those kinds of principles. But responding to that, that's number one. Mm-hmm. Second, he's also talking about the other issue we've chatted about on this very broadcast, which is ethics, establishing an ethics code. Mm-hmm. And that you can do legislatively. He's proposing that. There are plainly proposals for that in Congress right now. People like Dick Durbin from Illinois and Sheldon Whitehouse from the East Coast, they propose this. He wants that in there as well. And the other interesting one is term limits. He does want to establish term limits for the justices. And again, you think, well, gee, isn't that contrary to the Constitution? Talks about lifetime tenure as long as you're behaving well. Good behavior is the way James Madison wrote it. And there are some interesting ways of not just getting around that, but keeping you as a Supreme Court justice, but just removing from you your capacity to vote after, say, 10 or 15 years, still assign you to do other things like ride the circuits, hear other cases, but have somebody else replace you when it comes to the nine people who are actually making choices and making decisions. It's an interesting theory. Again, would certainly be challenged. That you could also do, again, legislatively, but lots of heavy lifts here, but good that he's doing that. The one thing he doesn't want to do, he doesn't want to pack the court. He doesn't want to increase the numbers of justices, which is always kind of the third or fourth proposal here. He says, no, no, that sounds too political for his taste. And so he's not proposing that. This should come out sometime soon, maybe the next week or so.
Well, the Republicans have proposed expanding the court. And they're using the excuse, well, the Democrats wanted to do it. Let's do it before they do and then really pack the courts.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That, again, it's you know, as we know, historically, it's been a political issue. We've been as low as 5, proposal to get up to 11. You could get up to 13, 50. You choose your number. That you can do legislatively. You can choose a number and do that. And then, of course, the idea would be that your president at the time would then fill those empty spots. It's a lot to accomplish, again, legislatively, and then get all those nominations confirmed by the Senate. But you could do it depending upon who's in office. But again, the motivation is always there because you want the court to endorse your particular package of proposals for the American people.
Well, you know, from what I understand, Obama could have gone ahead with Merrick Garland as his nominee. He could have actually placed him in there if he wanted to, because the Senate refused to do anything about it to endorse or to even interview him. So he could have just placed him in and instead, moral and ethically, decided not to just put him in, unfortunately. But he had the power to do that, right?
Yeah, so he had this period of time called a recess appointment. Congress isn't in session, and it's a little sleight of hand, but there's nothing wrong with it procedurally. These things have been done before. Mm-hmm. You could have placed him in office for that recess period, and then the Congress still has to take it up at some point down the road. The other thing that we were advocating for, I was U.S. attorney at that time, and obviously behind the scenes, not publicly, but, you know, in a time when we litigate about everything, including now, apparently, whether or not Kamala Harris will be the nominee for the Democrats, that's coming up, too. Mm-hmm. We litigate everything, right? We were advocating to say, you know what, sue the Republicans in the United States Senate, compel a vote. You can't compel them to vote in a certain way. But the notion was, of course, Mitch McConnell is saying, I'm denying Merrick Garland even a hearing, even a vote on the floor of the Senate. And the Constitution says the president shall nominate, the Senate shall confirm with advice and consent, shall are those words. Wasn't doing it. We were advocating Barack Sue the leadership in the Republican Senate, bring him into court, see what a district court judge and appellate court judge says about that, to compel at least some action by the United States Senate on that nomination. Now history.
Yeah, that now history.
We're talking with Jim Santel. He's the host of Amicus, a law review on Civic Media. Jim, I want to ask you a little bit about some of this chatter we hear about the Republicans somehow suing that Kamala Harris can't be on some of the ballots in some of the states. Is there anything to this? Is that just fantasy?
Right. Why is it whenever I get together with you, I often end up using the word craziness, fantasy, absurd, frivolous, all those kinds of things?
Right.
Short answer, I suppose, is no. Again, we forget that politics and the rules by which the Republicans operate, the Democrats operate, none of that is constitutional in nature. You don't have a right, for example, to a certain nomination or a certain candidate. And so we begin with, when people say, well, gee, this is unconstitutional for the Democrats to change. No, no such thing. Mm-hmm. This is a political party. George Washington very notoriously said, you know, I bemoan the fact that politics is coming into this, and was unhappy about the fact that we'd have political machinations going on. It's not a legally, a constitutional kind of thing. Second, the issue is parties have their capacity because they are these private entities. It's a political party. And it is not a creation of some statute by the Congress or the state legislature. They can make their own rules as they want. My understanding is the Democrats, like the Republicans, have enough facility to not, they can change their rules. They could change their rules tomorrow. They can do that because that's what they are. And again, very little, if anything, to this. The third point I just make is, once again, standing, which we've talked about. How is it that a Republican, for example, have standing some damage? Well, we figure out maybe how they're damaged by a better candidate, but how do they have standing to say, we want that particular candidate in that party and not this other one? No, that's not your call to make.
Are you
that's
sure? The decision that
the Democrats and not you. Lots of problems with those litigation being filed just to raise this problem, these issues, nothing more. Nothing to see here, as they say.
I think it's brought up only because you want to energize the base a little bit and get them talking about something other than the actual issues at this point. So they want to, you know, really get the pitchforks out and demand that they run against Biden.
Right.
I find this a fascinating event.
Yeah.
Where now they're kind of revealing. Their entire campaign that they've built up so long to go against Biden with is just gone. History out of there.
And that absolutely is the practical aspect of this, right? And people ask, well, gee, can you sue over this? The answer is, sure, you can walk into a clerk or court's office and file the complaint. Whether or not you win, that's a different question, right?
Right.
And that's what the politics of this is all about.
Yeah, you can try to sue about anything,
right? Well, they do, don't they?
Yeah.
Right? Free country, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Now, I want to talk about this recent decision about transgender students' protection for them being blocked. And this is Chief Judge Jeff Sutton wrote that the Title VII definition of sex discrimination under bus doc simply does not mean the same thing for other anti-discrimination mandates, and the 2-1 ruling out of the Sixth Circuit means that the entire rule remains blocked at this point, so you can't protect transgender students now. What's the story
so this
on
goes
that?
Back. Yep, absolutely. This is Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1965, right? And so this has been out there for a long period of time. The question is, how do you interpret the word sex as it has been set forth by the Congress? And in this case, which you just mentioned, Bostock, the United States Supreme Court, another Supreme Court, not the present one, said that, yes, indeed, that does include gender identity and sexual orientation. So you can't discriminate on those bases, right? And so what this particular chief judge is doing, the Sixth Circuit, which, by the way, is just kind of to our east here in the Seventh Circuit, it's Michigan, Kentucky, and Ohio, those states right there. What this particular judge said is, we're not going to endorse, we're not going to support a proposal from the United States Department of Justice that doesn't expand what sex means, but following Bostock is the natural consequence of it. He says, no, I'm drawing a line. I don't know what that language, what means that he just articulated here, but he's drawing some line. This will be brought up either to a full panel of the Sixth Circuit, could ultimately make it to the Supreme Court. They already have a transgender case on their docket in this coming term. This one could also be a part of that package to be reviewed by our highest court.
But if it refers to just sex, then you can interpret it anyway. It's very broad at that point. You can't sit there and can you sit there and say that wasn't their intent or that wasn't their thinking at the time? Or can you say, well, this is the way they wrote it, and this is how we can interpret it now because it encompasses all sorts of sex issues, right?
Exactly. And you've just articulated the two kind of opposing views on this. And you actually go back to the time that Title VII has passed. They were thinking of more than just gender, male and female and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They were, in fact, aware of the fact that, yes, we do have immutable characteristics in the areas of sexual orientation, gender identity, and transgender people as well. And so, again, that's the interpretation is everything. The point is, the United States Supreme Court itself has adopted a very broad interpretation of what sex means. And that's why, from my perspective, this thing coming out of the Sixth Circuit runs afoul, at least of the spirit, if not the exact letter of the law coming out from our Supreme Court. They said, broadly interpreting that word, this should cover Title VII protections in employment. For the terms and conditions, hiring, firing, all those things should be protected for everybody in America.
Why do I feel like maybe they could maybe change their mind again? You know, it seems like the Supreme Court just it can do that instantly. By the way, this Chief Judge Sutton, he previously upheld laws banning same-sex couples from marrying and banning transgender minors from obtaining gender-affirming medical care. So this is nothing new. This is almost like judge shopping. At this point.
Right. And that second issue right there, that's the one that's going to the Supreme Court. That is whether or not medical care can be provided to transgender patients.
Oh, that's that's a case.
And that's coming up this term. We got a lot of things to talk about in 2025 and beyond, including what the Supreme Court may do with this case and the other one as well.
All right.
All right, Jim. Well, thank you for visiting with us this morning. And, of course, you can hear Jim Santel, a law review, every Saturday morning on the Civic Media Network from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. What do you have coming up?
You're on twice, though, Jim, now, aren't you?
Yes. So we do rebroadcast this on Sunday at 2 o'clock.
All right.
It's still relatively timely. By Monday morning, it becomes old, right? Because the news, the way that you guys know this well,
exactly.
News goes so fast that by Sunday afternoon, it's almost outdated. We try to do a lot of civics, and it seems time at least for a day or so.
Absolutely. Very good, Jim.
All right, Jim. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon. Take care.
Good. Yep.
Jim Santel on the John and Gordy Show. It is 749, 67 degrees.
We're going to hear from a possible vice presidential nominee.
That's coming up.
Mad Radio, WMDX 92.7 FM at 1580 AM, the John and Gordy Family Show.
Yeah, it's an extravaganza. Hey, speaking of extravaganzas, Atwood Fest is this weekend in Madison. 30 great bands on 3 big music stages on Madison's east side. John and Gordy from WMDX Morning Show. Hey, that's us. We'll be emceeing at the Sugar Maple stage, and be sure to check out Civic Media's Truth Booth, where festival goers can record stories and interviews, and all the conversations are posted on our website at civicmedia.us, and some of the best ones might make it on the air here. Yeah, so don't miss Atwood Fest Saturday and Sunday, July 27th and 28th at the 2000 block of Atwood Avenue in Madison. Again, 3 stages, 30 bands. It's going to be fun. Plenty of terrific food and vendors up and down Atwood Avenue. You can go to atwoodfest.com/#music for all the band information and showtimes.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
We are going to have a great time.
We are, yeah.
Betcha.
Other on stage.
Yeah.
You do all the talking, right?
Well,
I just kind of hang in the back, and I'm waving my arms around.
That's what usually happens, and then you
do the wave, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you're muttering comments off mic to me while I'm trying to talk. It's very distracting. I wish you wouldn't do that. But well, you know, I've told you that time and again. Just stand there and look pretty, you know.
But I gotta tell you, the shocked look on the audience's face is always just something to remember.
Looking forward to that. No, it's good. It's going to be good, man.
All right. Well, anyway, you know, just recently, Governor Andy Beshear, and he appeared on Morning Joe, and he endorsed Harris, Kamala Harris, and attacked J.D. Vance. Right?
What did he have to say?
Well, you know, he said a lot of things.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear what he had to say?
I'd love to hear it. Is there a way I can hear that?
Well, Cut 104 has all this information on it.
Well, let's listen to some of that.
Should we listen to that?
I'd like to listen to it right now.
Drop the needle on this one.
As a prosecutor, as an attorney general, like I used to be, she prosecuted rapists, domestic abusers, stood for victims and put away those abusers. Now look at the other side, where J.D. Vance calls pregnancy arising from rape inconvenient. No, it's just plain wrong. He suggests that women should stay in abusive relationships. Listen, a domestic abuser isn't a man, he's a monster, and no one should support anyone having to stay in those relationships. So the vice president is ready. She has my full endorsement. I'm going to do everything I can to support her.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great line, though, huh?
Mm-hmm.
A domestic abuser isn't a man, he's a monster.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So possible, VP. So,
yeah. Andy Beshear.
Yeah.
He's from Kentucky. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro.
Yeah.
You know, he's also a former prosecutor.
Yeah.
And he and Kamala Harris have known each other for 20 years. So I think he's got a real good possibility. And then the astronaut.
Well, that's that Mark, may be a little troubling with Shapiro. He's very pro-Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be a problem for a lot of the Gen Zers who do not like mm-hmm. the U.S. policy, because of the Palestinian situation and the protests nationwide. So that might be a problem.
I saw on CNN this morning they're vetting about 10 different people right now. Vice President.
Mm, okay. But they got to come up with somebody really quick.
Yeah, I think by the first week of August, I think is what they're going for. Yeah.
Well, good luck with that lawsuit, Magus.
Doesn't sound like that has any.
It's so crazy. I mean, just to think, well, we're going to sue. You can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? What law, what part of the Constitution are you referring mm-hmm. to again?
And it could be, Mark Kelly is another name that keeps coming up from Arizona, the former astronaut and senator. So he's got a good chance, I think.
Well,
because Arizona is a really important state. You know, they judge this on so many different things.
They
do. What state do they need? Where does it, how's it going to affect other things? If he's a senator, somebody else has got to take his place. Yeah, lots of things in motion.
Well, so, they're... Of course, talking about J.D. Vance and him as a VP, what he brings to the ticket, and they're thinking nothing. That this kind of, they're saying, that he brings nothing to it, and that's why Trump put him in that position in the first place. Yeah.
But, kind of a blank slate.
Yeah, it just
kind of like a Dan Quayle.
No big deal, just kind of
Dan
a generic
Quayle?
Guy. Yeah.
Does anybody remember Dan Quayle?
Barely. No one wants to remember him. But, yeah, he's just kind of a blank slate. They want him there. Yeah, it looks good. Ohio. Mm-hmm. The whole well, here, listen to this. This is cut 103, okay. And this is an introduction to J.D. Vance by Ohio State Senator George Lang. This is what he said in the introduction, bringing Vance out.
Fight! 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 We got time. Come on. Hey! We are in the fight for the soul of our nation. We are in a fight for our kids and our grandkids, a fight that we can never imagine. I believe wholeheartedly Donald Trump and Butler County's J.D. Vance are the last chance to save our country politically. I'm afraid if we lose this one, it's going to take a civil war to save the country, and it will be saved.
Oh yes,
let's throw that in. Yeah, bloodbath, the Civil War.
I was going to mention this earlier. They always talk about the Civil War, but they never seem to realize how awful the Civil War really was. It was a terrible time to be alive in this country.
Of course, for years. Yeah,
so many Americans lost their lives in that war. Just outrageous. And just to bring it up casually, well, we're going to have a Civil War. Mm. We don't win. Mm. It's very unusual, very strange. But it's the whole thing, this fight thing that Trump came up with on stage after the assassination attempt is coming out. I mean, it's growing into this big,
Well,
it's a thing now that the MAGAs think, well, okay, now fighting is the thing.
Yeah.
Who's promoting war here?
Yeah, that's the politics of fear and, uncertainty. And, just throw it all out there. Yeah.
But I do want to get
that's not working.
I want to get this, Kamala, I mentioned that I think she needs presentation help.
Mm, you think so?
Yeah, she's always going for that emotional response instead mm-hmm. of maybe just being a CEO. That's who I want speaking out there. But mm-hmm. We don't have time.
No, we'll talk about it tomorrow. This. No, yeah. Right. We're out of time for today.
Well, that went quick.
I know. Oh, my God. Hey, tomorrow we're back at Short Stack Eatery with our friend Mike McCabe. He'll yep. be joining us. And you can join us, too, at Short Stack Eatery at the corner of State and Johnson. That's going to do it for John and Gordy for this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us.
We encourage anybody who wants to pick up our tab, please stop by Short Stack tomorrow.
Have a great day.